Welcome to Summit Church. Here, we strive to be a church where you can belong long before you come to believe. At each of our locations, we worship together, learn and grow together, serve together, and form relationships around a common purpose, to inspire people to find and follow the way of Jesus. Join us in listening to this week's sermon.
Well, today we're continuing in our series, and we're actually wrapping up our series, God at Work. And in this series, we've been looking at how to integrate our faith into our work. And oftentimes, we try to keep those things separate, keep our vocation and occupation over here and our faith over here. But I am passionate about the impact we can have as followers of Jesus when we begin to live out our faith at work. Now, you should know that I love an invitation. I love getting invited to birthday parties, really any gathering. I'm a massive extrovert, so I don't know if it's just because I love the opportunity to meet new people. I think that invitations are just full of opportunity and potential. Opportunity to meet new people, to try new things, and the potential to build new relationships, friendships, and even create memories. And the reality is that I can think about a number of invitations from a vocational perspective that have impacted my life. I remember back in 2001, I was 19 years old and I was working at a Mobile Lube Express. I had just moved to Orlando from Rhode Island and I was changing oil at Mobile Lube Express. And this lady comes in, super nice, and I get the opportunity to work on her car. And towards the end of our interaction, she looks at me and she says, "Hey, you're really good at this." And she gives me her business card and she says, "Would you be interested in working at a bank?" And when I looked at it, she was a recruiter for Bank of America. I still remember her name, Cindy Roig. And she invited me into an interview. That interview led to a job, and that job led to almost 11 years in the banking corporate world industry. I also remember in 2013, an invitation to lunch with Jeff Kern here at Summit. And we went to the Smoky Bones that's across the street from the Orlando campus. And when I got there, I thought I was just meeting Jeff. And all of a sudden, here comes Isaac and Andy and John and Jeff and the four of them. I'm sitting across the table from the four of them. And I thought I was there for lunch. Little did I know that there was an invitation that was a part of that lunch meeting. They invited me to be a part of the work that God was doing at our Waterford campus. And for a little under 6 years, I got the opportunity to serve as the campus minister there. And it was an amazing opportunity. I also loved the invitation that my brother extended me about 6 years ago. He extended me an invitation to be a part of his small business. And so when I look at my kind of vocational journey, it's been impacted by invitations, whether that was into corporate America, whether it was into vocational ministry here at Summit Church, or whether that was to be a part of a small business, which is a totally different animal in and of itself. And it's been amazing, and God has done incredible things in it. But the reality is that invitations also come with challenges. They're not easy. Even when I think about the invitations that my kids get to their friend's birthday party, right? Like, I got to figure out, how am I going to get there? What are the other kids are going to do while I'm there with our child? We got to think about what are kids into so that we can buy them a gift. It's just challenging, especially, you know, if you get invited somewhere and you don't love, you're not as so excited to meet people as I am, right? Invitations come with challenges. Even those vocational challenges, a lot of the times I was wrestling through whether I could even do what I was being invited to do. Invitations are hard. I especially find that the invitations that God extends to us in His Word are challenging. They're challenging because they're often full of opportunity and potential, yes, and even purpose. But they often lead us into a place of uncomfortability and dependency. And we don't like that. And so as we look at integrating our faith at work, I think that it's important for us to see an invitation that Jesus extends to us. This invitation is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And it's a clear invitation for each and every one of us. He says this. He says, let your light shine before all men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, if you've been at church for any length of time, you've heard this passage, right? And it gets used often. And some of you might be even checking out, I know what this is going to be all about. But I want you to stick with me. And the reason why I want you to stick with me is because I love not only what Jesus is saying here, but who he was talking to. You see, Jesus wasn't talking to the power brokers of his day. If he was going to do that, he would have had to go to Jerusalem. But no, he's talking near the Sea of Galilee. And he's talking to everyday ordinary people living everyday ordinary lives. And he's inviting them to live a life in such a way their lives shine so bright that they would reflect the glory of our Heavenly Father. You see, that's the invitation that we have each and every day as we engage the work that God has invited us into. Now, if you're listening and maybe you're retired or even yet, if you're a middle schooler or a high schooler and you're saying like, I don't even have a job. I wish I had a job because I want some money, but I don't have a job. The reality is this, is that regardless of if you have a job or not, regardless if you're a student, retiree, maybe you're a stay-at-home parent, there is still work that God has called you to. And what we're going to be talking about today is how we engage that work, whether you have a job or you don't. Now, so how do we shine in the work that God has called us to? I think I've usually seen this in two ways, and I think that they're at the ends of the spectrum. And this isn't to be critical of either of them. There's mercy for all of us, because it often depends on how God has called you to and how God has wired you to engage this. But I often see the ends of the spectrum. I see on one side the person who has a desire and a passion to reach and tell everyone about Jesus. And so they interject it into every conversation, every situation, regardless of if they should or shouldn't, right? It's kind of like they're in a meeting and they're talking about prophets, and all of a sudden this person makes a comment about the prophet Jeremiah being the weeping prophet because prophets are down, right? Like they interject. It's kind of like when back in the old days, there was tracts, they would put them right next to their business card. So you almost had to grab one as you grabbed their business card. Maybe yet they stapled them to them. And you know what? Listen, if you want 100% genuinely feel that that's what God's called you to, I'd encourage you to do it because he's going to respond. The other person on the other end of the spectrum says, you know what? I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that person. And so oftentimes what happens is that they don't say anything about their faith. They don't engage anyone at a heart level. And so when you talk to their coworkers, they wouldn't even know that that person is a follower of Jesus. What I want to do is I think we can glean some wisdom from a portion of a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3. And in here, what I believe that the Apostle Paul communicates the key to how we engage our work. And I think he gives us the ingredients to excellence. Now, I said excellence, not perfection. I think those two things are different, right? And as I thought about how do I define excellence, I feel like excellence is one of those words that is hard to define but easy to see, right? Like, it's hard to quantify because it's much more than just doing what is right. It's much more, it includes, but it's much more than going above and beyond. Yeah, I think it's one of those things that it's hard to define, but it's easy to see. And what I hope is that as we look at this passage, we would see the ingredients, if you will, that Paul gives us to be able to display excellence in our work. All right. It's found in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Now, a little bit of context on this passage. Paul here in verses 21 and 22 addresses slaves. And as we look at this, it isn't that Paul is condoning slavery, but we must understand kind of slavery in the context that the Apostle Paul experienced it. And I won't spend too much time on this, but there were a number of ways that one fell into slavery or found themselves as a servant, right? In a patronage society, which is what Paul lived in, you really had to be under the covering or be in the household of someone to experience any level of protection. And so sometimes, whether maybe you became widowed or orphaned, and you would put yourself as a servant, as a slave, under someone's household for protection, for security. Some experienced slavery due to being an indentured servant, so they were paying off a debt. Some, even if we look at Genesis chapter 29, we see that Jacob became a servant, right, for 7 years so that he could marry Rachel, which that didn't work out quite so well, but if you know the story. But there are a number of different ways, and this is Paul simply saying, hey, I'm going to speak to the realities of this. And as we look at this passage today, we're going to look at it from the employee-employer relationship. And so I want to read this passage for us. Paul says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as reward. It is the Lord Christ who you are serving. I love the way that Paul starts here. He says, whatever you do. And I think that what Paul is asking us, and one of the ingredients to excellence, is a new perspective. The Apostle Paul says, hey, whatever you do, this is an all-encompassing phrase reminding us that whatever task, whatever work the Lord has called you to, it is significant. And we've often believed that there is sacred and there is secular. And there are those who work in ministry and those who work outside of ministry. And that's just a lie from the pit of hell, as my youth pastor used to say. The reality is that all work is sacred. And we can often compartmentalize or categorize work into secular and sacred. However, Paul erases that distinction. And whether you're preparing or preach a sermon, teach a class, take a test, drive a bus, change a diaper, cook a meal, all work is sacred when it's done unto the Lord. You know, for too long, we viewed ministry work, and I experienced this to a degree. For almost 6 years, I worked at a church, and I experienced working in ministry, or working as a part of vocational ministry. And I can tell you that many of the impactful moments that I've had, been able to have with individuals weren't necessarily in the 5 or 6 years that I served as a pastor here at Summit. It's happened in client meetings. It's happened when you hear about someone in the hospital and you decide to show up. You see, all work can be sacred when done unto the Lord. The other thing that we see here is that every role matters. We try to often value certain professions over others. But in God's eyes, every role, all work is essential. You know, I feel that I saw a great example of this in my dad. My dad, man, he was bivocational, which meant that he pastored and he worked a full-time job. And I'll tell you, it didn't matter who he was talking to. You always saw that he treated them as if they're a child of God, as if they're made in the image of God. And it's absolutely beautiful. And so what Paul is doing here, he says, whatever you do, he's saying, there's a new perspective that you must have if you're going to engage your work with excellence. And that's that everything that I do, every work of my hands, whatever it might be, and again, whether you're a student, whether you're retired, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a CEO, small business owner, all work is sacred. He then goes on and he says, work at it with all your heart. And the second ingredient is the quality and attitude of our work. You see, Paul encourages us that we should engage our entire hearts into the work that God has called us to. You see, and this is kind of where I think we can get a little practical with what this looks like. Right? One of the examples of this that I absolutely love is we see in Daniel chapter 6. And if you know the story of Daniel, you know that He was a man of character. And this is one of those that it's hard to define, but it's easy to see. And in chapter 6, Daniel has kind of has shined bright. And the king is about to make him a kind of administrator over the entire kingdom. There's some people who don't like that. That's also another lesson for us. Just because we display excellence in the workplace doesn't mean that things are going to be easy, right? And so Daniel, I love chapter 6 in verse 3. It says, "Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent." I mean, I find that like incredible, right? Like they couldn't even find any negligence in him. This talks about Daniel engaged his work with his heart, realizing that excellence honors God, but it also inspires others. And I love this. A tangible example of this for me is when I was in the banking world, I started off as a teller. And I loved working the drive-thru because I got the opportunity to kind of interface people through a microphone, and it was just a fun environment in the drive-thru. And I remember I was working at the Bank of America in Rio Pinar, which is here in Orlando, and there was a coworker, his name was Fano, F-A-N-O, Fano. One of the things that he would do, right? Like, I think that this is kind of how we see excellence played out, is that really he did his job. He would go and he'd process transactions. He was kind and he was polite and he, you know, had a smile and he did his job. But there was something that Fano would do is he would have happy Fridays. And this wasn't anything that the branch manager or the banking center manager wanted anyone to do, but this is something that he kind of took on himself. And he would welcome folks and he would say, "Hey, welcome to Bank of America. It's happy Friday. Hope you're having a great day." And what happy Friday meant was that every customer through the drive-thru would get lollipops. And so as he would send their two back with their transactions processed, he would put lollipops in there and he would say, "I appreciate you coming here on Happy Friday. I hope you have a great weekend." And he'd send it out. And it was like, man, this is absolutely incredible. Like that's excellence like played out. It isn't that he just simply came and did his job. Like he did it great and that would have been good. But it isn't that he just went above and beyond. But it was almost that he knew that what he was doing had a purpose, right? So it's the sense that we give excellence in our effort. You see, working with all of our heart means being fully engaged and present. You know, as I've looked at this and as I've tried to live this out in my own life, you know, just excellence in the workplace, it's hard to give a definition for it because oftentimes excellence just is about showing up. And sometimes it's about saying something and sometimes it's about listening. And sometimes it's about apologizing. Maybe you spoke to that coworker in a way that you shouldn't have. Maybe you spoke to your teacher in a way that wasn't kind. And in those moments, maybe you didn't display excellence in the quality of your work. But the beauty is we have the opportunity to display excellence in the way that we redeem those relationships. And so maybe excellence for you looks like apologizing. Maybe excellence for you is going and inviting someone to coffee. The reality is that when we engage our work with all of our heart, I believe that the Holy Spirit will lead us. It'll lead us to know how to respond in excellence when we engage with all our heart. The next thing Paul says is, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. This talks about the motivation behind our work. You see, as we seek to be people who engage our work with excellence so that we might honor the Lord, that we might shine for others to be able to see our Heavenly Father through our work, we're going to get discouraged. And we need to be reminded of our motivation, of who we're working for. You see, there have been periods in my life where I've worked for human masters. Those human masters may be prestige, maybe the next run, the rung on the corporate ladder. Maybe it's getting that next client or that next sale. And I'll tell you, those human masters will keep you chasing. They'll keep you chasing for more and more and more and more. And Paul says, no, don't work for those human masters. Work unto the Lord. You see, this is our motivation. When things get tough, when maybe like Daniel, you're being persecuted. I hate to use the word persecution because that's a strong word for us in our context. But maybe things aren't going the way that you wanted them to. Paul says, you're not working for human masters. Work as if unto the Lord. Recently, I got to watch this documentary called Desert Runners. And it's about, it chronicles four runners as they seek to accomplish what they call the Desert Grand Slam. This is running 250 kilometers across the four deserts. So the Gobi Desert, Sahara Desert, I always forget the name of the one in Chile, but there's one in Chile that, and then Antarctica, which is, I didn't know it was a desert, but it's considered a desert. And it's 250 kilometers each one of those. And the goal is to do them as a part of this race in one calendar year. Now, as I was watching, they would display the temperature on there. Some of them were 112 degrees, 102 degrees. So incredibly rigorous. And there was this one runner who less than a year earlier had lost his wife to cancer. And at one point, he was struggling bad because you're struggling all the time as you're running this, right? But he was struggling really bad. And the camera catches him as he kind of takes his bag, he stops, he takes his bag off, and he pulls out this kind of banner flag. And on it, he had, it was a kind of this design, and it had something written about his wife. And he wraps it around his bag, and he puts his bag on and he kept walking. It was almost in that moment where things got really, really, really tough and challenging for him. He needed to be reminded of his motivation, of what and why he was doing what he was doing. And I want to remind you of why engaging our work with excellence matters. And it's because we're working for the Lord. That's your motivation. And what he promises us, right? It says that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as your reward. He promises a reward. And it may not seem like that in this moment. But I know that God is faithful. And our work, when done in faithful obedience, will not go unnoticed by God. He is faithful and just, and he'll reward you. Not going to be easy. But what we see in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 is it says, let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. God is faithful. And that's one of the ingredients that we need to incorporate when we think about excellence in our work. One of the things that Paul does in the letter that he writes here in Colossians is that and it's a similar literary structure that he uses in Ephesians. And basically, and those are kind of, they're kind of copy pastes of each other. He spends the first half of this letter. In Ephesians, it's the first three chapters. In Colossians, it's the first two chapters. He spends them reminding the believers of what they have in Christ. He does this because this is the foundation that helps us live lives that shine, right? And in Colossians, it's actually in chapter 3, it switches. It says, listen, if this is true, if what we see, if what Christ has done is true and is a reality in our lives, then we should be able to live lives that are different. Right? And I love what he writes, because I want to remind you of what your foundation is as you engage excellence in your work. He says this, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. See, that is our foundation. That is the fuel that helps us live lives that shine. What we see is that we have an invitation. And if you're watching this, the first invitation that I want to extend to you is to put your faith in Jesus. I'm telling you, I'm not promising you that it will be an easy journey. And anyone who does, run away. The reality is that Jesus doesn't promise us or give us easy, but it will be worthwhile. It'll be a life lived on purpose and for a purpose. The next invitation for us is that we would live like this is true, like really true. That we would live like that, knowing that whatever we do matters to God. That we would live knowing that we can fully engage our heart because God is at it and wants to do something through it. And that we would live with the motivation and assurance that our work is not in vain. See, that's the invitation that God extends to us. That's the invitation that I get passionate about every single Monday when I wake up. That's the invitation that he extends to us when we engage our faith and our work. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you're a God of invitation. You invite us into a relationship with you. You invite us to get to know you. You make it possible for us to experience and to know you, and we're grateful for that. God, I pray that whatever work our hands, that whatever work that we get the opportunity to do with our hands, God, that we would do it in a way that displays excellence so that it would inspire others and it would honor you. God, so we surrender and submit it all to you, knowing that you are faithful and just, and in due time, you will give us a reward. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening with us today. Remember, you can also watch our services on YouTube or at summitchurchfl.org. Those links can be found in the show notes, along with ways to follow us on social media. Now, go in God's grace and peace. We look forward to worshiping with you soon.